Thank you. please stand for our affirmation of faith this morning, number 882. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Safety in our own clever schemes. Too often when faced with those in need, we throw up our hands in defeat, sure that there is nothing we can do. Stay with us when we have need for you. And bless us in our struggles so that we might be a blessing to others. We pray this morning in the holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our praise chorus. You are my hiding place.
That's the lesson for today.
And I just preached my whole sermon for these folks out here. So y'all want to go home early? We'll just go on home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons of Jonah. And no matter how far we think we can run and hide, we cannot get away from your everlasting reach. Father, just bless these children here this morning. Let them always know that God goes before them. And that even in time out, God is there with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Faces to the foot of the cross. I know if you've seen the ushers walk around with their prayer cards, or you can indicate it as well on your Connect card, your prayer request this morning. We have several people and a couple of families who suffered loss this week, and we're lifting them up and holding them especially tight this week as well. Here are these prayer requests this morning. We're continuing to pray for Tom Hart. He did have his stem cell transplant. And beginning his chemotherapy treatments, he'll be 2.5 weeks in Sylvester Cancer Center in Miami, so continue to lift them up as well. Gerald Breeze, a longtime member of ours, has been moved from JFK to Barrington Terrace, where he is undergoing rehabilitative therapy. Betty Lee Gray, we continue to pray for her. She is at home with Gary and Violet, so just continue to pray for them as well. Sandra Wallace, the sister of Joan Dakers, is under hospice care in Emerald Pines. Continue to lift them up as well. Mary Ann Davis, still having her severe pain in her back. Continue to lift her up. Moe surgery. Okay, Don had some surgery to go well on Friday. We'll be lifting you up in prayer, Don. Heather Athis, she's got a big paper. She's working on her thesis, so we pray that it gets approved. It is in good standing. And Wanda Bell as well, and her family. Wanda Bell's sister's husband passed away this past week, so continue to lift up their family as well. Other losses in our church family this week. We've been praying for Harry Griner. Bud Griner is Mary Jane and Max's son-in-law passed away this week as well. Keep them in your prayers. And the family of Marlene Colbert, Jane Martin's sister, did pass away this past week as well. So a lot going on in the Harden family. Christina and I just got a message this morning, spent the night in the ER with some breathing complications, so they have just had a lot. Jane, I'm sure, down with Tom today, so just continue to lift up the Harden family. They have a lot going on in their family as well. It's time to bring your prayers to the Lord. I would encourage you to feel free to go to the feet of Christ to bring your prayers, praises, and concerns this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow your heads? Loving God, we come as a wounded people this morning, but as well a praise and joy-filled people. Father, as we go through our trials and tribulations and heartache and sorrow in our lives, Father, as in the story of Jonah, we can never run too far that your reach does not grab us and bring us into your loving arms. Father, for those experiencing loss this week, I pray a sense of peace and comfort. I pray for the knowledge that disease moved from our realm into the next, that they are now in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that their reward has been granted, that their peace has come at last. Father, for all those that are sick and in hospitals and rehabilitation centers and therapy and all the things that go on, Lord, to bring us to better health, I pray for those individually. I pray for the doctors, nurses, therapists, counselors that help us grow stronger in body and mind. Father, I pray for God's discernment in each of these cases, that where decisions are to be made, that we can make them with the knowledge of Christ leading us. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, we lift up our hurting world where war and turmoil and strife run rampant. In the Middle East, Lord, where people are being killed by the hundreds, we pray your intercession. Father, we know from our history that peace is troubled and hard fought after reality. But Father, we also pray with the knowledge of knowing that you are in each of these circumstances. I pray for world leaders as they make decisions that involve lives of innocent people and lives of those who may not be innocent that fight for the wrong God. Father, thank you. Thank you for being in the midst of all this turmoil. Father, we are gracious and happy to be at peace in our own communities and in our own heart. Father, that peace may be just as hard for each one of us to see and accept. And Father, as we pray for individual peace, is as important as the world we live in. Father, where anxiety and depression overrule us, I pray for relief. I pray for relief of things that take us from our walk with God, that take us from the presence of the Holy Spirit surrounding us every day. Father, bless us today as we come together for Holy Communion, that as we gather around a common table and common elements, you make them something very uncommon. You make them our salvation. So, Father, bless our time together today. Bless those that have not been able to make it out to church today. Father, we are a family with all of its issues and problems and love and care for one another. We come to you unified in the love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
wanted to share and that we can give it us with others. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
What will we do about you so that the sea will become calm around us?
sea was continuing to rage. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm around you. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." The men rowed to reach dry land, but they couldn't manage it because the sea continued to rage against them. So they called on the Lord, saying, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish on account of this man's life, and don't blame us for innocent blood. You are the Lord. Whatever you want, you can do." Then they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. The men worshiped the Lord with a profound reverence. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made solemn promises. May the Lord have a blessing for the reading of His Word this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of Jonah. It once again points out that our own lives can mirror those of people in the Bible. Father, we pray that this message would strike deep in the heart of us to realize that we cannot run from the presence of God. Father, bless the message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I believe that God is moving in our church. Do you?
Yes.
Is God at work at Lakeside United Methodist Church?
Yes.
I believe so. I believe He's preparing us for something. Do you feel prepared this morning for whatever it is God is bringing to us? Well, we could be prepared, or we may not know quite what to do. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on this earth. He sees everything. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We've talked about it before. We can't run far enough or hide in the best hiding place that God does not know us. I think God is drawing a line in the sand for us. He is leading it up to us. The story of Jonah, like I said, is very familiar to us. I think as we get older, it loses that awe factor, don't you? We just think of it as another cute little Bible story of spending some time in the belly of a fish. The guy runs from God, swallowed by a big fish. He gets spit out on the beach. I think we all safely can say that we have all... How many have ever been in the belly of a fish? Boy, you are lucky. How about the... trouble that would compare to being in the belly of a fish? No one here has ever had trouble. Boy, this is a great congregation. Dan's not here today because, Dan, I say raise your hand and everything I say to raise your hand for. Well, I hope you don't lie in church, but if you've been here and you've never experienced any trial or tribulation in your life, good for you. But I know it's not true. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm not calling you out in public. But if you're going to lie, don't lie to God in church. I believe this event really happened. In Matthew 12, it tells us that Jesus speaks of this event as a historical fact. Has Jesus lied to us? So it's true that you could be swallowed by a fish. There's a video out on the news or whatever, and a guy was speared, a pretty good sized fish. And this big live grouper came up and nearly took the man that he wanted to fish. And that was just a small fish. So I believe there's some historical merit to this story. But I also understand that Jonah's story is our story. Do you agree with me? Maybe not necessarily this part about a fish swallowing Jonah, but I guarantee you that we have all said no to God at some point in our lives, and God has put us in time out, as I told the children. Maybe it happened as a teen, a young adult. now in your life you feel that God has nudged you in an area that you have turned your back on. That's Jonah's story. Maybe we were forced to go to church as kids. Maybe we were forced into this church thing. Well, most of you aren't in high school anymore. You're out on your own and you're making your own decisions. You've decided to come to church today. And as a pastor, that's a good thing. Because you recognize the fact that God has a message for each one of us. Now Jonah, he thought if he got on a ship and went the other direction, he didn't believe God went as far as Tarshish, did he? We all do things that God probably wouldn't approve of, would he? How we spend our money, how we spend our time, our abilities. You ever feel guilty about any of those things? Well, that's us hanging on to our own things. That's basically how we run from God. It's how we live our life. It's often said, look at your checkbook and you see where your heart is. You know, the reason we don't like to give things up is because we feel like we're going to miss out on something, don't we? Is that why we're so strong-willed with God? That we believe, God, you're going to take away all the fun. Are Christians the most miserable bunch of people you've ever seen? Some of them are, I got to tell you, yes. And they're not setting a very good example for the rest of us. Because you know what? People are watching us. And I have had people that I know real well tell me that if that's what it means to be a Christian, count me out. Have any of you had that comment made to you? Absolutely. I bet many of you have. Why do we serve this God that we really sometimes don't know where He's leading us? In Jonah's case, he told him to go to Nineveh. Now that place was full of sinful people. But he was willing to get on a ship and sail over to Tarshish where he, you know what, the same sinful people were over there. He didn't want to go and speak to them about what God had promised. So in his infinite wisdom, he decided to go the other direction and go to the same kind of people. What are we running from? We're usually running right into the same mess we're running from. Amen? Amen? How many times do we run from one mess right into another? And maybe even worse. I always hate that, don't you? I got a little trouble here, so I'm going to ignore it and go over here. I got another trouble that's a lot worse. I'll ask you, how does that work out for you? You know, many of us are running because you think some people who claim to know God are confused. Is there ever confusion there? I get confused and I'm your pastor, so you all are in trouble. I'm sure we all know some folks like that. They'll say, I'm not going to attend church because of what goes on behind the scenes. You know how it is in church. Those behind the scenes people, they talk about one another. But on Sunday, they come in and they're all smiles and hugging one another. And after church, on the way home, they're talking about, you see that ugly hat that lady had on? Anybody here wearing a hat? I pulled that out of my hat because I figured I wouldn't offend anyone if they had an ugly hat on. We do. Is there politics in church? Of course. Come to be on my team. Did you know I have my own team here at church?
God has a team here that he's trying to put together. Some weeks, some months, we're better at it than others. You hear me stand up here and beg for help a lot of times. When I was just a rookie in ministry, I thought I could do it all myself. And I'm pretty strong-willed, and I really thought if I pushed hard enough that I just changed your all's opinion on things, that we would have things run smoother around here. You all don't listen worth a darn. You all follow the plan. What's wrong with you? So now that I'm a grizzled old veteran of the ministry trenches and wars, you know, I've only been in ministry 3 years. And it seems like I've been in ministry all my life. Okay, boy, that was a tricky question, wasn't it? I think we've all been in ministry all our lives, amen? Some of us get to stand up here in front of you and put these nice black robes on and tell you, boy, aren't we something. I'm just as messed up today as I was when I was in the belly of that fish. Most of you have heard my story. I always feel envious of Jonah because he only got 3 days in the belly of that fish. I spent about 7 or 8 years in there. I got real slimy before he spit me back out. Jonah's a winner. But what I want you to take from this is what he was running to. Everyone runs from God. There's three things that we all have in common when we decide to run from God. So Jonah is close to Joppa. God tells him to go to Nineveh. And instead he gets on a ship headed to Tarshish. Today we call Joppa, Jaffa. I thought it was amazing on the news. The reporters are dug in around Ashkelon. Are you familiar with that city in Israel that we read about in the Bible a lot? They're still standing over there, hunkered down because they're being shelled. And there's war in that area. Well, no kidding. I think someone's told us that right here. But anyway, Jonah, he thought he would go to Tarshish to get away. Joppa's in Israel. Nineveh was in Iraq, and Tarshish was in Spain. Now Jonah's going in a totally opposite direction from where God told him to go. I'm glad I've never done that. So Jonah's going the wrong way. And those Phoenicians, it was a port city, a Phoenician port city, materialistic, militaristic, and outside of the covenant of God. They were lousy people too. He only thought the bad people were in Nineveh, but he was in a place that had just as many bad people. So it doesn't make sense. So if we run from God, we end up where? In a bad place, right? The second thing we have in common is we're running from God, our life will eventually unravel and self-destruct. Is that a true statement for anyone in here? The farther we run from God, the bigger mess we find ourselves in. That's the second thing we share in common. The more he ran, the worse it got. The farther he got from Nineveh, the worse the seas became. It got so bad that he said, throw me over the side. You ever ask yourself, did God really say that to me? I have people tell me that all the time. Oh, yeah, I get a feeling I should do something, but I don't really know if that's God talking or not. And then I ask, is the voices in your head always the same voice? Does God come at us from different places that are different times in our life? I think he does. I think he reveals things to us through other people. Do you agree with that? He reveals things to us when we need it revealed to us. We ask ourselves, did God really say that? When we're running to make some bad decisions, don't we?
I think we're too busy running to think things through. The third thing we get from this story is when we run from God, we end up hurting who the most? People that we love, right? You see it all the time. The ones we love the most end up taking the brunt of our bad decisions. Now, if we started out with that intent, do you think that would change our minds? Those that fall along the way and make bad decisions end up hurting those that love them that they love the most. That's sort of a sad commentary on this whole thing, isn't it? Because we never start out wanting to hurt the ones that we love, but we do it anyway. You see Jonah as unrepentant here? Now, I never looked at this story until this week when I dug into this a little deeper. Jonah was unrepentant. Rather than Jonah saying, "Okay, God, you got my attention," he says, "I will say my buddies here and just chuck me over the side. I'd rather be dead than follow God's direction for my life." I think a lot of people do that, don't you? It would be easier to be dead than it would be to follow God. Is following God that bad? Is it that awful? Is it that terrible to follow God's will for our lives? That's what Jonah did. Jonah would rather be thrown into the sea than to face what God had asked him to do. Now, I don't know what 3 days in the belly of a fish would do for most people. But he only needed the 3 days. He spit him out and he said, "Okay, you got my attention. Here I go off to Nineveh." Do you think it was easy for him to get traveling companions at this point? I bet that same ship that he jumped on to go the other direction, those guys probably weren't that thrilled about having him come back on board, were they? But if we look at their story, what did they do after they thrown him in the sea? They praised God, didn't they? They praised Jonah's God. I like earlier in the story, it said, when things were bad, they praised their own God. When they saw what happened to Jonah, they praised Jonah's God. Amazing how God works, isn't it? So if you recognize yourself in any of this story of Jonah, the good news is we can't outrun God, can we? I say it all the time, how does God do that? How does God know the details that he needs to be involved in? So this morning I'm going to ask you to stop running if you're getting tired. Anyone tired of running this morning? Is anyone ready to say, "God, you caught me. Spit me out on the beach and aim me in the direction you would like me to go." That's the offer we get this morning. This morning as we come to the table, we get to share that gift with one another. We share it with Jesus Christ, our Savior. This morning we have an opportunity to share this gift of salvation. Are we all willing family members of God? Or are we being drawn along kicking and screaming? Saying, "God, just throw me over the side if it's too much." So I invite you this morning as we come to the Lord's table, and we come up and we kneel this morning, that we say, "God, I'm tired of running. I give up, you win." I think if you do that sincerely,
takes that weight from our shoulders. I know. I've experienced it. I've seen other people. So hear this invitation this morning as we gather around the Lord's table and we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Join me in the confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard Your cry in the meeting. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
We desire to give our thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through Your prophets who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your
Son Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed Him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when You would save Your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At His ascension, You exalted Him to sit and reign with You at Your right hand. Night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, He sat around the table with His friends. Throughout the meal, they talked of what was going on just in their everyday lives. And during that meal, He took the bread, and it was something different on this night. He lifted it up to the heaven and He broke it. And He said, "Take and eat, for this is My body broken for you." After the meal, he did likewise. He took the cup and he raised it to the Lord and said, Father, bless this. Take and drink, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. This is my blood, the new covenant. This is the gift of everlasting life. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ is alive, Christ is risen, Christ is born again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on those of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of everlasting life through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we receive your blessing this morning in the taking of these elements. Father, we ask your blessing now as we leave this place and our children, and we, the children of God, will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit leading us. Father, thank you for the blessings of your Son, Jesus Christ. In whose name I pray. Amen. Please close. Please stand for our closing hymn, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Thank you. before us as we leave this place. Lord, when we've turned our back on you, guide us back into your loving arms. Father, send us forth now as your children, going out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask a blessing upon us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good turp.